A little cliche that some friends and I often throw about to each other is self-exposure is the bridge to fellowship. And it's really only as we share with each other, expose ourselves to each other, that we really build that bridge of fellowship with each other. So I'd like to just share my testimony with you. And see, must start from the beginning. I was born in Maryborough in Queensland, which is about 4 hours drive up from Brisbane, for any of those who are not sure where that is. Three sisters and one brother, and my mother was Catholic, and my father was whatever pleased him at the time. And as a young girl, my mother was really faithful, and she often took us down to the little church down the road, and where we grew up and had communion and all these things. But it wasn't until I was about 12 that I decided that church was a thing of the past. A girlfriend of mine were talking the other day, and we said, when do you think, as a young person, that you've become an adult? Like, I have a son who's 16 at the moment, and to me, he's still a boy. But when I was 12, I was a grown-up, and I could make my own decisions. And we think that way, don't we? But as parents, we see it in a completely different light. And I think when I was 12, 13 and 14, I thought I was a fairly mature person. My parents were really loving parents, and they were very loving. They used to let us do what we wanted to do. But unfortunately, that isn't always a good thing for young people, because oftentimes they haven't got wisdom, and a lot of times they haven't got really good direction. And unfortunately, I became a mother at 15, so exactly 16 years tomorrow. My son was born, so he turns 16 tomorrow. So that's really exciting for him. So things certainly changed for me at that time. My whole life just turned upside down. I think it was the most traumatic thing that stands out in my memory as a growing up, as a girl. I can remember being in such a predicament, thinking, what am I going to do? Will I run away? How am I going to face my parents? What are they going to think about me? And it was a really difficult time. And even though my parents aren't believers, they certainly did show a lot of love. And they accepted me, even though I'd really shamed them in the eyes of the community, because even back 16 years ago, that was quite a shameful thing, even at that time, even though it's becoming quite a more regular thing today. So my parents were really good. They helped me to raise Daniel as a young boy, but I still continued to go my own way. And even during that time, though, looking back now, I can really give testimony to God's witness in my life. And I remember I had a job in the railway as a typist there, and one of the boys in the office became a Christian. But that's not what we heard. We all heard that he'd gone off his rocker. That was the rumour. And I remember him coming to me, and he stood in front of my desk and he said to me, "Val, do you believe in God?" But I thought it was a joke, you see. I thought he was going to try and trick me. So I thought about it, and I thought, I'm not going to be tricked and I'm not going to be embarrassed. I said, "No." And he said, "Thank you," and turned and walked away. And do you know, God really challenged me, because I think in my own ideas, I felt I did believe in God. I was a Catholic. I'd gone to church. I felt I was a good person. I wasn't really mean and nasty. I'd done a few things wrong, but, you know, on the whole, I was a pretty good person. But it really struck me, the truth of my words, "Do you believe in God?" I said, "No," and it was really true. And it really struck me that day. And that young man moved along, but God certainly had other people in my life. And another young lady became a Christian. And I remember in the ladies' tea room, we'd get in there, and you know, sometimes we think men are bad with their jokes, but believe me, when ladies get together, they can be just as bad. And it was usually us good Catholic girls that were the worst, telling dirty jokes. And I used to wonder why this girl would get up and walk out, and why was she so offended? And it was because she was a Christian. And I started to watch this girl and wonder what it was all about. And ladies, as believers, that's what we are, isn't it? We're a shining light. So be encouraged, because people are looking at you. And I was looking at this girl. Now, I know that when she looked at me, she had no idea that I was interested in the things of the Lord. And I know I frightened her. I remember she used to walk home from work, and I pulled over one day and picked her up in my big hotted up Tirana, and I know she was frightened and she wasn't really sure how to relate to me. I took her home and I sat there for a cup of water. I wanted her to tell me about her faith in God, but I wasn't going to ask. But years later, after I did become a Christian, I really encouraged her, ladies, be faithful to witness, step out by faith, even if it's just a little word. Just be encouraged to do that, because often that person is wanting to hear, but they're just not going to ask. And, you know, the Lord was just very faithful in my life and just bringing up different people to give testimony to me. I think when Daniel was about 3 years old, I met Martin. Martin and I were both born in the same town, and probably fortunately we didn't go to high school together. He went to boarding school and I went to TAFE school, so we didn't actually meet, even though we're the same age. We didn't meet until we were both about 19, and when we met, as far as I was concerned anyway, it was love at first sight. And after a few months we moved in together and we lived together for quite some time. Now, during that time, I had no idea that he was reading the Bible. I often saw this book on the floor. It just had an aeroplane on it, and it said, The Greatest Flight. Now, you know, I never picked that book up and opened it. Had I picked that up, I think I would have been a little bit frightened about what this guy was all about. But I didn't pick up the book, and I had no idea that he, too, was searching for God. And we continued to live together for about 6 months, but the relationship started to go a little sour. We were both quite sporty minded. We played football and hockey and squash, and we jogged, and we just had so many things going on in our life that our relationship just started to go a little bit sour. And I can remember he went away for a weekend, and I thought, look, I've had enough of this. I'm sick of this relationship. You know, Daniel wasn't happy, and I thought, you know, that's it, I'm finished, I'm going home. And I remember he came home one afternoon, he said, look, I've got something really important to tell you. I said, look, it's over, I'm finished. He said, but I want to tell you I've become a Christian. And I can't even remember much of what he said that day, because I'd completely shut off. But Marty had indeed become a Christian that day, and it was only through his continual witnessing to me and giving me a Bible, which was another really embarrassing thing. I was in the office. I mean, where does he bring it? In front of everybody. And as soon as he left, all the girls rushed in. They said, oh, they said he's really gone this time. Is that too much of that stuff? And, you know, they thought I'd really gone round the twist. And they said, oh, pal, don't go anything to do with him. You know, just forget it. But he gave me this Bible, and he had on the front cover, he said, to dear thou, may this book always bring us together. And really, it was just his faith in God. You know, I can now look back and think, this poor guy just comes to know the Lord, comes home to share the gospel with me, and I said, forget it, buddy, I'm off. And it really did throw him on the Lord. But it was a good growing time for him. But he was very, very persistent, believe me, and I couldn't hardly get away from him. And I did become a Christian, and then we were married 1 month after we became saved. So Daniel was 4 when we were married, and we stayed in Maribor, and we were discipled through the church there, through the Gospel Hall. And then our second son was born, Benjamin. And then we moved down to Sydney, and we came to New Tribes Mission, and we did 18 months Bible College, where Stephen was born. And then we did missionary training where Marty Louise was born. And then we figured our family was finished until we went to New Guinea. And after we returned, Jamie Douglas was born. So we have 5 children. Marty always wanted 6. I always wanted 4. So the joke was, I'll meet you in the middle, but I never really intended that to happen, but it did. But believe me, ladies, the Lord is faithful, and even that, you know, you can look back over your life and you can see high and low spots. And for me, when I fell pregnant with Jamie, as much as I love babies, I really felt that I couldn't cope with this, and I have to admit that I had to question God's wisdom. Lord, you already know I've got four. How can I possibly manage with one more? And I said to Marty, look, don't tell anybody I'm pregnant, will you, please? Because I said, if they come up and say congratulations, I'm just liable to burst into tears. And I didn't want people to think I didn't want the baby. It was just that I needed time to know that it wasn't my way, but it was going to be God's way. And lady, that's the thing that God encouraged me with. He said, look, I know you can't cope. And that's a good thing. Because it's when we can't cope that we learn what it is to walk dependently on him. So really, Jamie has proved to be a real blessing in my life. He's three now. So, I mean, he's not a baby anymore, as much as we do try and baby him. So our eldest is 16, Benjamin's 9, Stephen's 7, Marty Louise is 5, and Jamie is 3. At the moment, we finish missionary training, and my husband lectures in the Bible College, and I work in the office during the mornings while Jamie goes to nursery. So that's where we're up to at this time in our life. As I look at all of you here, I think, well, you know so much about me now, so I want you to be fair and come and introduce yourselves to us this weekend. And we'd love to get to know each of you as much as we can. And we're really looking forward to this topic that we've got for the weekend. And I'd just like to share a short reading tonight out of Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he's put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respects not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. And ladies, that's really every one of our testimonies, isn't it? Because we were all there in the horrible pit, in the miry clay, and it's only the Lord that's made a difference in our lives. And sometimes Marty and I, you know, we sort of think, if it hadn't been for the Lord, there is no way that we would still be married. Oh, I'm assured of that. It's just the Lord. And each of us have got a testimony to the grace of God and what he's done for us in our lives. So tomorrow morning we'll be starting off our session. I'll be starting off, and we're looking to cover Genesis chapter 1 to chapter 3. And we're looking to bring out some things there about God and some things that we want you ladies to take home with you after this weekend. And I'm, as well as Betty, love these ladies' house party weekends. I mean, when Esther rang me and said, would you like to speak at our ladies', you know, house party? I thought, wow, weekend off, yes! So if anybody wants to lose weight quickly, I'll just ask Esther to ask you next year to be the speaker. I mean, it's wonderful. I mean, it works wonders.